Playing the Air Sax with Sam Fender.
Hey!
Hypersonic Missiles, we've just listened to the title track off of the album. It's been out for a few weeks now, 2.5 months, something like that.
Yes.
And Sam Fender is already back for another gig in Berlin. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, mate.
It's no problem for us. You've been a nice guest the last time you were around, so we're like, let's invite him back again.
Legend.
So how are you doing today? Everything okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I did like a kebab thing last night in a kebab store.
Right here in Berlin?
In a Duna store.
Yes.
And and I served like kebabs to 20 of my fans. It was quite funny.
Oh wow! So it was your idea to go for the kebab?
Yeah, I love, because in Newcastle, it's quite similar to Germany in the sense that like we go out, we get drunk, then we eat Duna.
Yes.
Go out and have kebabs at late night. So yeah, I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I mean, you're so in love with it that you're still selling kebab chili sauce on your merch stand,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and garlic mayonnaise as well.
Yeah. So it's there on the merch stand still?
Yeah, you can get it. You can
I love that. So there's a deep respect for the kebab scene in the north of England as well.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we love it. And in the northeast of England, like, we live for kebabs. It's kind of like, it's that thing that you have to do when you're coming back from a night out and you're really drunk and you like dangle kebab meat into your mouth.
Yeah. It's an interesting metaphor actually for a guy like you who comes back into the northeast of England after starting a successful career. You know, you're still stuck with the kebab and everybody knows that you're down to earth still.
Yeah, of course. You can't, there isn't much better than a kebab, man.
No. If it's made out of good ingredients, and if the kebab master...
It doesn't even need to be made out of good ingredients. Oh, I like dirty kebabs, man.
Yeah, that's true. But there's some real trashy kebabs.
Yeah, but I love a trashy kebab. When you're drunk, kebab's the one.
That's totally true. You've been really busy.
Yeah.
The album has been out for a few months now. It's been pushed for a month, I think.
Yes.
How has life been since the album has been out? Because I think the last time you were here, it was still... It hasn't been in the stores.
Yeah, hadn't been released yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's completely gone mental, man. Like, I've not even gone on the UK tour yet.
Wow.
And the next UK tour is sold out.
What?
So the UK tour that I'm about to go on in, like, once I finish this European tour, I've got like 5 days back home and then I start the UK tour. But what's funny is that one's sold out and the one next year is also sold out already and I haven't even gone on this one.
That's scary, kind of. I mean, it must be empowering for you as an artist to see that people are interested in your
it's
shows.
It's insane, man.
Like, but it must be scary as well.
It's like we're doing like 20,000 in London over the course of 2 nights, like 20,000 people.
What?
And then we're doing 12,000 in Newcastle, 12,000 in Leeds, another like near 10,000 in Cardiff, I think.
Uh-huh.
And then like... another 6,000. So it's just ridiculous. Like we're playing with literally thousands of people.
But what the good thing about your record is that it has the balls to work in front of such a huge audience, I think. Because
I hope
there's,
so,
you know,
man.
With the sax solo in there.
I think the sax just makes everything like arena ready.
Yeah, I think so. It sounds a bit stupid if you say it out like that, but I think it's true.
The saxophone just completes everything. I mean, when in doubt, just make the sax, like do a sax solo.
I think with a passionate sax player, you can turn any record into an arena filling record.
I just try.
That's a hard thesis, though.
I'm not gonna lie. Like, well, I'll tell you what, we'll make one mind up because I think the second record, when I finally get around to doing that, is just gonna have sax solos on pretty much everything. So we'll just see what happens. I'm kind of sticking with the formula of like, write a song with some sort of meaning and then just put a big saxophone in it.
Yeah.
And then everybody's like,
that's the most philosophical song that I've ever listened to.
Although
it's just the same. I mean, it's basic lyrics, but the sax solo is
It works for Springsteen, man. So.
And there's those Springsteenish moments when the sax solo is happening. It's really true.
Yeah.
You think of the boss. And so you have this association with Sam Fender and a boss, you know, it's a good thing.
Yeah,
the
sax
solo.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's been away.
I'm nowhere near as good as Springsteen, but like, I mean, the comparisons are wonderful. It is very nice for somebody to say that, but I'm like, come on, dude. I've only had one album out. This Springsteen's got 19 records. like he's like a household name legend.
Yeah. He is a legend. I've always had respect for him, but it grew bigger as soon as I saw his performance during the halftime show of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It was like a few years ago. And he was like, you'd better put your chicken wing sticky fingers on that remote and pull up the volume because I'm about to rock. And then he jumped on stage, slid on his knees onto stage like a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, man, you got the power.
He's just a warrior, man.
He's a warrior,
he's
yeah.
He's just he's the greatest.
Yeah.
The greatest.
Yeah. So you've been touring quite much the last few weeks, and you've returned to Berlin to play the album. And I've only found out today that White Privilege, the song that we're about to play, was one of the fastest written songs on the record. It just came out of you. Is that a sign for you that the song is about to be a good one? If it's like fast, if the birth.
Not always. It's just it's exciting when it happens like that because it's not like a labor of love. You know what I mean? It just happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got a lot of hatred off the alt-right for that song.
No, so, that's the hate that you want to have.
Yeah,
I think.
Totally. But I mean, yeah, it's good. People have it. It's like Marmite, that song. People either love it or they hate it.
Yeah.
I've had like respected journalists saying it's a good song and respected journalists saying it's not a good song. So,
okay.
Which what I've realized is that everybody's got an opinion. Opinions are like opinions are like arseholes. Everybody's got one.
Yeah, totally true. So it does say it like that in German too.
Yeah, yeah. So it just is what it is. You know what I mean? So man, I'm happy about it. Like it is what it is.
Yeah, it's an interesting record, and I love the fact that you're not putting real old school love songs in there, and that's another thing that I love about your record, because love song guys, they are not actually. They shouldn't be afraid of, then they don't have to be afraid of shitstorms, you know, because a love song doesn't ever get a shitstorm, you know?
I've had death threats and everything, and it's great. I've had people saying that, like, I'm a race traitor and all this rubbish. And
I mean, I really love that, and I think when you say that you're going to play 12,000 people in Leeds and 20,000 in London, you see that the average person or the more persons are on your side than on the other side. So the shitstorms, you know, those people are, there aren't many, but they're very loud.
Yeah,
but
of
I think
course
you should, you can ignore them or you should keep fucking them up.
But imagine
bit.
If you had the time. Like, imagine if you're that much of a loser that you had the time to sit on Twitter all day long to troll people all day long because you've got nothing better to do in your life. It says more about them than it does about me.
Yeah, totally true. But, and I really think
and anyway, as well, I think, like, as well, people have got to understand as well that a lot of the songs that I write are from the perspective of characters.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily always my opinion. A lot of it is from the perspective of characters that I've created. And it can really miff people, man. But that's artistic license.
You're, totally. You're people always think it has to be autobiographical, but it doesn't have to be autobiographical.
Yeah, people just need to just lighten up, man.
Yeah. I love the fact that you in interviews once said that your own life might be boring at some point, too boring to write a song about it, so you get into the view and perspective of characters.
Yeah, like who actually really wants to actually know what I do like on a Tuesday afternoon? I'm just sat around in my boxers watching daytime TV and eating biscuits, you know what I mean? Like I'm boring as hell. Like you know what I mean? There's been some moments of my life which have been remotely kind of maybe a bit interesting, but like as a rule of thumb, I'm a pretty boring guy.
But you have the ability to put yourself into another person's shoes, and all of a sudden there's perspectives that you can sing about.
It's just people, man. Like, you know, I'm the lives of people, especially like in my hometown where I'm from, there's a lot of kind of this incredible stories happen every single day. You know what I mean? And really incredibly sad stories and incredibly joyous moments happen like constantly side by side in my hometown every single day. And I think it's a good representation of the real world. So that's what I try to capture with my tunes. I try to just try to take a bit of that and put that. That's the lifeblood of my music. It always will be, you know what I mean?
So this source of interpretation, it never quits, right? Are you currently already writing on new stuff?
I just wrote a song yesterday.
Okay, cool.
Just finished one yesterday and one 3 days ago.
Cool. So you're like able to ride on tour and stuff.
Yeah, I write all the time.
Cool.
People that say they can't write on tour.
That's the autobiographical people, because they come back with songs like The Boys Are Back in Town or On the Road Again.
Yeah, you know I mean, it's like I think, yeah, if you're writing about yourself, it's very, very boring on tour. Like, but who wants to hear that? Nobody wants to hear that. Like, oh, I'm on the tour bus.
Nobody.
I got some crazy fan art. You know what I mean?
My Insta channel is booming.
I got some death threats on Twitter. I mean, no one cares about that. You've got to write about people because that's what people relate to.
So
I just try and write about like my dad and my brother.
And I mean, you tackle topics like white privilege, toxic masculinity, and that's those topics that the old white men is scared about, and they react like.
And let us add that as well. I don't tackle it with any sort of eloquence. I'm not like, I know that I am not politically eloquent. I'm not an educated. I didn't go to university.
No, it's not science.
I'm just speaking from the perspective of people, you know, from a working class blue collar town. And so I don't get it right all the time. You know what I mean? But that's the point. Like, I've learned a lot through doing this. Like, I think, you know, like with some songs I write and I've looked back and I went, oh, maybe I was a little bit heavy handed with those lyrics. But that's the beauty of it.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean? Neil Young did that with Alabama. He wrote Alabama and he's like, everyone was like, come on, you're being a bit hard on there, a bit hardcore, like with respects to people from the South of America. And he regretted that song. So I've had moments like that. But that's the beauty of it.
I think that's too.
The beauty of I'm a kid, I'm learning.
Yeah.
And I'm growing through this music stuff.
Yeah. So and you're not a scientist. You're a musician.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You're an artist.
I'm not a therapist.
No, not as well. And I think there's room for mistakes in the music and in the lyrics as well, as soon as it's art. It's not, you don't have to research and put out like a scientific.
It's open for interpretation.
Totally.
People
true.
Take what you want from it.
Yeah.
And send me death threats because I find it really funny.
I don't think that a song called White Privilege will cause death threats from the Flux FM listenership, because they're kind of like a woke listenership and they think about things like that. So let's listen to that song, Sam Fender, White Privilege on Flux FM. 15 Minuten vor 4 am zweiten Teil des Interviews verlosen wir Tickets. Start up my motor, eat, drink some burgers and cold. Sam Fender, White Privilege auf Flux FM. Ein weiterer Song, der durchaus was zu erzählen hat von Sam Fender, der ja selten mit Liebesliedern auf die Bühne geht. Das wollte er nie. Er hat hier durchaus wieder mal ein interessantes Thema angetackelt. White Privilege nach Hypersonic Missiles abgespielt. Von Sam Fender. Heute Abend spielt er hier in Berlin im Astra. Die Show ist bereits ausverkauft. Wir verlosen gleich die letzten tickets. So I've read about the fact that Stormzy is such a big fan of yours, and he sent you a longer text message or word spoken message.
Yeah.
Regarding Dead Boys.
Yeah, he did. He's
such a great artist.
He's
we love
a hero,
his music.
Man. He's a hero, yeah. He just said he loved Dead Boys.
Yeah.
He sent me this message, and then I met up with him.
Cool.
After the GQ Awards, and we had a little, we hung out in the smoking area. It was good. He was really cool, man.
Cool.
He's a total legend.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was, because I've read that you are a control freak when it comes to your music. There's people who are like, oh, maybe I want to contribute a little something on your record. You were like, no, I just want to keep control over it. But then I read about the fact that Stormzy likes your music. I was like, oh man, they should do something together though.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't
it?
That would be amazing. I love Stormzy, man. He's a great guy.
Yeah, but you also love having control over your own music, right?
Hey man, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. I don't mind if it's like a collaborative thing.
Yeah.
And that's what it's dressed up as.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm up for doing that.
Yeah.
As long as it's the right person and it makes sense, I'm up for giving it a go. But it's only the time I'm a control freak is when I'm writing my own songs. I don't like to co-write. I don't like to write with anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, just that's my thing.
Yeah.
If anybody gets involved with that.
Dead Boys, we've just talked about that song for a short moment. It's a song about the fact that the men under 45 in England do very often attempt suicide.
Yes.
And it's a very sad song that has to do with the story of one or two boys from your hometown. And I've read that you've played a show there this year. When you were on stage, you were looking from stage, you were seeing those houses where one of the guys lived at. Is that true?
I could see.
That must be so scary.
I could see the calf from where we used to have coffees.
Okay.
And we used to, me and this guy used to get up on stage and play.
Wow.
In the calf, and his house was like across the road from there.
Wow.
So I could see like the neighborhood.
And then like you can see that in the background and in the foreground.
It was
it's
pretty,
like 4,000 people singing along to that song.
Yeah, and like people out, there was like another 1,000 outside of the castle just lined across the coast.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty special, man.
Must have been one of the more intense moments of that tour.
Yeah, it was wild. Wild. It was wild.
Yeah. So what are your plans for tonight? Are you going to play some of the new stuff already? No, right? It's too early for that.
Too early.
But we're going to listen to a few songs off of the brand new, still new record, Hypersonic Missiles. Und wer noch vorbeigehen möchte heute Abend im schönen Astra, der kann uns jetzt anrufen unter der 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000, das ist die Nummer zum Glück. Wir verlosen Tickets für Sam Fender heute Abend im Astra. Und dann ist er ja auch schon bald wieder zurück in Berlin. Am 28.02. spielt er in der Columbia-Halle. So you're gonna be back at the end of February again.
I cannot wait.
To play Columbia-Halle. It's gonna be the next Berlin gig for people who can't make it tonight.
It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, totally.
So you guys have to come down, because by then as well, that's next year.
Yeah,
there will also be new material.
Oh, nice.
Not just like that is not just this album. There'll be extra stuff.
Cool. So thank you, Sam, for coming by.
Thank you.
Wir verlosen Tickets, wie gesagt, unter der 030 2000 9000. Sam Fender heute Abend im Astra. Bye, Sam.
Thank you.